We left off last time. We were just going to tie up the sheet of the Rambam in the sugya of Tanai, of Zman and Get, rather. We noticed, we had on the board last time, a few unique sheetas of the Rambam. Let's mention some of the unique sheetas of the Rambam. Not necessarily in order of the way the Rambam wrote them, but for example, we saw one sheet of the Rambam. Maybe the first thing we mentioned was in the sugya of unique sheets of the Rambam. Gazgez lezmandi day. The Rambam holds it kosher. Very interestingly, right? Very strangely, the Rambam holds if you chop off the zman and give it to her, it's kosher. Even though, if you, even though it really seems to be no more effective than not having a zman in the first place, we saw the Magid Mishnah. Who answered, maybe you could somehow give a technical explanation, explain the Magid Mishnah somewhat technically, said the Magid Mishnah, Milsa, Delo Shlicha, Lo Gazru Be Rabbanan. Okay, you're right, of course it should be Pasul, of course there's no logical reason the Rambam should be Machsher. Remember, if you don't write to get it, it's Pasul. If you write this bond and cut it out and give it to her, it's kosher. No logical reason. Just milsa lo shlicha lo gazru rabbanan. The second sheet that we saw the Rambam in our discussion last year was kasav v'chasam izmano v'nasan achar zman. Right? The whole question of kasve v'otve v'kise m'fais d'payis or gitna bon nivdimis hayam, which was a big machlokas rishonim. And what does the Rambam hold? He holds it is totally kosher, even mechatzilah, right? the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, it's pasul unless it's written and signed on the date, on the accurate date. No need for netina on the accurate date. And Perek Bet, he even says, totally mechatzilah, mitzvah nemokhil, mahadrim and mahadrim, write and sign it on the right day, and he can give it whenever he wants, no problem, even though our Gemara was very worried about the problem of if he puts it in his pocket, if he sends it from Medina Tayyam, etc., etc. So why was the Rambam not worried about it? So we saw many explanations of why perhaps not to worry about it. Two technical explanations we saw were either the Beis Shmuel says he held like the Rambam, he held like Tosfos, Savar Ketosfos, the Ede Nasira Motzi and Kol, right? If he held like Tosfos, that the Ede Nasira are always Motzi, a Kol that was given after this man, then, excuse me, then there's no problem giving it later, because we're assuming he gave it in front of Edom Sira. If he gave it in front of Edom Sira, there is no problem. Slight technical problem here, which is the Rashba suggests that if the Edom Sira are Motzim Kol, then even if it was written and signed to the wrong date, it should be okay to give it in front of Edom Sira, because they'll be Motzim the Kol and no Mishnah will come out of it. So it doesn't fully explain the Rambam. Because then, even if it's signed on the wrong date, it should be okay as long as you give it in front of the Edom Asira. But, okay, at least a partial explanation.
If it's not written or signed, then sort of Mizuyo Pitoko. They say they do it, but they didn't do it all at the same time.
Okay, perhaps some problem with Mizuyo, although you have to ask exactly, you know. Yeah, correct. I mean, Mizuyo Pitoko for the Rambam, some sort of Xera clues. Okay, right, you could say it's Xera. Or, so the Rambam and the Meiri said, they didn't say it for the Rambam. But it is certainly possible. I'll pee Ramban and Iri just to say they weren't explicitly saying I'm explaining the Rambam, they were explaining themselves. They could say the same technical explanation, Milsa Lo Shchicha, Lo Gazru Bei Rabbanan, right? Since Lo Makdim is Pernisim L'Nafshei, and therefore it's uncommon that he would give it later, therefore the Rabbanan weren't Gozer. He's a little Dachuk, because the Rambam sounds like, oh, just give it later. He sounds like a taka could be a common thing, but nonetheless, the Gemara says it's not common, so not crazy. Okay, how would you explain Medina Sayyam? Is it Medina Sayyam a little more common? So what you'd have to say is, you'd have to be a little more complicated, you'd have to say that if they come from Medina Sayyam, the shlichos from Medina Sayyam makes a kol. And therefore, Chazal knew that really there'd be a kol that would be a problem, except in cases where the guy was in town. And when the guy was in town, it was Milsa Lo Shchicha, and they weren't Gozer, which is still a bit of a stretch, because a get given later than the date is Shchicha. It's just, in one case it works out, and the other case Lo Shchicha, so you have to say, a Milsa that's Shchicha, but within the Shchicha cases, it doesn't create a practical problem. It only creates a practical problem in rare circumstances, the Milsa Lo Shchicha. It's a little bit Dochak. Okay, it's you see how it's a little bit Dochak. What does the Amni Milu, yes?
It depends how you define Lomach Diminish for the Nadre.
No, but for sure, in Medina Sayyam, a person will write a get before he delivers it, because it takes 6 months to get there. Right? Meaning, there's no way you're going to tell me a person in Medina Sayyam won't write a get before it's delivered. That's his only choice. Right? It takes 6 months in the mail.
It wouldn't matter if he even writes it before that.
Perhaps not. Right, correct. Maybe Lomakta Lanesha. He won't write it before he's ready to put it in the mail. But still, the mail takes 6 months. Okay, what does the Avnei Miluim do very, very cleverly? The Avnei Miluim says, and this is, I think, a sort of first step in the Rambam, says the Avnei Miluim, he says, no, there is a yesod here. The Rambam understood, based on the Gemara, that the nature of this takana is somewhat different. Why? He assumes, unlike what the Ran and the Rashba assume in terms of Parshat and the Gemara, if you recall, I'm not going to go over what we had on the board yesterday, but just in terms of reading the Shaklavataria in sort of the middle of the Amud, Rashi said the Kasha was Mahoidla B'takanosam if Gimel Gitin Psulim bought in Nisei Savlad Kasher. And the answer was Ahani Dil Chachil Otinase. So the Ramban Rashba assumed the Rambam read that without adding anything. Ahani Dil Chachil Otinase, just it's still a valid takana because it may has teeth. The Rashi, however, the Avnei Miluim assumes Rambam holds like Rashi, which is possible. Rashi read this line in the Gemara as Ahani L'chachil Otinase, and therefore what? What kind of teeth is L'chachil Otinase? The guy doesn't care. He's trying to do bad things anyway. No, he's a bad person. And you're right, Chazal can't control him. A guy who wants to steal payros is a thief. Chazal can't make zeros to control him. He's a thief. A guy who wants to be a chapel basachoso is a obstructor of justice. And apparently can't do anything nowadays about obstructors of justice. And Chazal can't make gzeira against someone who wants to obstruct justice, right? But sofer lo yichtav lo ve'edim lo yachtav lo. So the Amnei Miluim makes this a yesod. He says when Chazal made this takana, they were not thinking about the guy at all. They know the guy. Meaning, if the guy's a tzaddik, they don't need a takana. They only need a takana for a guy who's going to do bad things. And then the guy's an ice barf. He's not going to listen to their takana. So Chazal knew milchatchila, there's no point making takana about the guy. There's only a point making takana about the sofer and the edim, to prevent the sofer ve'edim from cooperating with the guy. Because the sofer ve'edim in Astam, he can find corrupt sofer ve'edim, but at a certain point, there's nothing you could do. Min Astam, they're making takana against the guy being corrupt. But Min Astam, the sofer ve'edim are going to be honest. I mean, Alfi Shnayim Ledim Yalkum Dover, we assume people are honest. If they're not the parties to the incident. And therefore, the ikar of their takana was not a takana on the Baal, it was the takana on the sofer ve'edim. So therefore, says the Avni Miluim, Alpi, Rashi, Dibur Hamaschil, Ahani Delechatchila, Lo Tinase. He says that, no, there's a yesod. The yesod is that, unlike what it sounds like in the Shaklavataria Gemara, the Shaklavataria Gemara is figuring out how, in the end, we'll have an accurate date for the Gerushin. You're right. In the end, we'd like an accurate date for the Gerushin. The tam ha-takana is to have an accurate date for the gerushin. But the way they made the takana is not that they required the accurate date of the gerushin. Keep in mind, the gerushin is only chal b'shat netina. The way they made the takana is since they knew they couldn't ensure an accurate date of gerushin by telling you, you better give it on the right date, because the guy's not going to listen. They only made the takana on the chatima, that the sofer and eidim should write and sign the accurate date. That's the nature of the takana. So what does he say? He says the tam hatakana is to know the shas girushin. But they knew that if they just made the takana, you need to give it bishato, it wouldn't work. Nonetheless, the substance of the takana, the mahut hatakana, is Gazru al hasofer v'ha'edim shetzrichim lichtov v'lachtom v'zmano. That is the yisod of the Avnei Miluim. And therefore, that explains the Rambam. If it's a din in the Ktivah v'chatima and not in the Netina, even though it should have been a din in the Netina, logically, we don't care. Remember, we're Rav Yochanan. Bas Achoso becomes muteris to sleep with other men. Only Mishat Netina. Peirot, only transfer Mishat Netina. Because we hold like Rabbi Yochanan. And we'd like to know the Shat Netina. But since we can't and there'd be no point, therefore they settled for second best and made a gzeira that you need the right Shat Chatima. What if there's a delay between Chatima and Netina? So either there'll be a call, or it'll be this, or it'll be that. Somehow we'll work it out. And therefore he says, this is a Pashut. And that's the lashon of the Rambam. What's the lashon of the Rambam? The lashon of the Rambam is ad sheyachtemu bo bezman ktivato v'mekom ktivato. Right? Pashut. The takana requires only chatima bezman hakosapo. That's man ktivato. That's man ktivato. And there's also pashut. Right, same thing. The takana only requires chasima bizman hakasabo. Therefore, if they signed at the right time, if he gave it 6 months later, you're right, we're not achieving all the goals we'd like to achieve. But that's the nature of the takana. The takana was on the chasima, not on the chalos gerushin. And even if he cut it out, doesn't matter, since the takana was only on the chasima. That is how they made the takana, and he was yotzei the takana. What he's being mechanish that for the Rambam, the gzeira was not on what would really would be useful to us, which is the shas chalus gerushin, but on the shas chasima. Why? Because that's the only way they can make a takana on someone who would listen to them. That's the chiddush of the Avnei Miluim.
I mean, I agree with the maskana, but his reason doesn't make any sense, because in either case, you have to be some on the call. I mean, you would, without no. The call, the chasima didn't do a thing.
The
it doesn't do anything. I mean, unless you go, I mean, you can go further the way you want to go with your svara, but with the Avnei Miluim svara.
No, okay. So just to be fair, I understand the reason is a little subtle because ultimately you'll ask the Avnei Miluim, why would they make this takana in a way that's not exactly achieving the goal you need to achieve? What's the point? And he would answer, well, the point is, it's close enough. Why is it close enough? Because of kol, because of lochashina, and because of lomak divinish por nisa lenafshe. Meaning, in the end, it does be, you know, he obviously has to also account for the practical aspects, right? But the question is, what's the nature of the takana? Is the nature of the takana that we need to know when she was divorced? What's the substance of the takana? The difference in the Avnei Miluim, more technical explanations, is that the Avnei Miluim is also going to have to give these explanations, because you'll ask him, hello, why would they make a formal takana that doesn't achieve the practical goal they wanted? And he'd say, well, because it's close enough, because the only times it doesn't achieve the goal is a milsa lo shchicha, or there's a kol to make up for it, or it somehow works out. The question is, what is the mahut of the takana? This derech is saying, sarich zman hagirushin. Or let me say even more explicitly. Is that you need zman chalot hagirushin in the get, and then you have to. There are two exceptions, and you have to explain those exceptions. Or you could say no, sarich zman You need the Zman Lechasim and the Get. Why would they be talking that way? Because they could only be talking to someone who listened to them, not someone who won't listen to them. Now, let me continue a little before we take this in a slightly different direction. there are some other strange things in the Rambam. Well, there's another strange thing in the Rambam that we didn't really get into yet because we didn't get to that part in the Gemara. There's some other strange things in, well, what did we have?
Yes, get me'ochar.
Right? What does the Rambam hold? That a get me'ochar is possible. Now, this is not such a big chiddush. Why would a get me'ochar be possible again? Many Rishonim were machshir a get me'ochar, such as the Ravid, such as the Rambam, v'chuli, such as the Ravid, such as Tosfos, were machshir get me'ochar. Why? Because he can't be mechafal batachoto, because if the date is later, that's only worse for his wife, not better for her. And he can't steal payrot, because he's just going to get less payrot, not more payrot, by writing get me'ochar. And if he gets less payrot, that's his own decision. He wants to write a funny get, he gets less payrot. It's fine for him to lose out. He's the one doing it. He just can't make other people lose out. So, what's the problem with what's the problem with get me'ochar? So, we found many explanations, meaning here the technical explanations are not dochuk at all. There's plenty of good explanations for what the problem is. Let's just review what some of the problems were with get me'ochar. You could say, like the Rivash and the Meiri and the Kesef Mishnah, that what's the problem with get me'ochar? That get me'ochar, the date of, no, sorry, he is stealing payros, right? So what's the problem with get me'ochar? Says, if, in Timtzalah, it says maybe the Rambam held that the Isha is against Tosos and against the payros miyad, delo ketosos v'raivit, if you assume the Isha gets the payros right away, the imkain, Habal, the Isha gets the Pyrrhus right away. Mishat Netina.
Mishat Ketivan, no?
No, because we're going like Rabbi Yochanan. That's Shasasina. Abel Eina Yechola Lahotziosan. So therefore, if you hold not like Tosas, not like the Rabbi Yochanan, Tosas holds the Gershon's not Chal till the date. Ravid holds the Gershon's Chal till the date, but she agreed to let him keep the payroll till the date. But if you say if you assume that the woman's supposed to get the payros right away, he gives it her today, she deserves the payros. The date is in 6 months from now, she won't be able to sue and get those 6 months of payros. Then maybe it's a problem he's stealing payros. It's a little weak because Tosos will say it's her own fault. She could just go to Bezin tomorrow and get the payros. But okay, maybe, right? Or we suggested, well, the Kesef Mishnah suggests that Shema Yechapeh in Totsi Haget Bebezdin Lifnei Zmano, right? Which we saw was controversial, right? If she commits adultery and then brings the get to Bezdin before the time written on it, she'll tell the Dayanim, look, the time on this get clearly doesn't represent the truth because it hasn't come yet. Therefore, we don't know when this get was given. Once we know don't know when this get was given, it's a suffik, and let me off. And we actually saw there's a machlokas, Kesef Mishnah, and the Beis Shmuel against the Beis Shmuel.
Delo kebeis Shmuel kebeis Shmuel shesavar shechayeves misa bichi haygavna, or we suggested the Meiri had an explanation, which is ulai not yechapel basachoso, maybe they'll kill the wife, she'll go
anti-chapel basachoso. Maybe she'll go remarry. She won't pay so much attention to the date. She'll go remarry. Then the husband will have tricked her, and he'll sue her for adultery, and they'll arrest her. She'll bring the get. They'll say, you're not divorced yet. Or they won't think she was divorced yet. And, right, he'll write a get for 6 months from now. She'll get remarried 3 months from now. 7 months from now, he'll say, hey, I have Aiden. You slept with a man 4 months ago. She'll say, I had a get. No, your get is only 1 month ago. Okay. Again, you could get out of both of these ways of saying she should have come to Bezin right away and had them write her a star. Anyway, there are plenty of technical explanations, but there's another problem as well. And I'm not sure the Amiluim really addresses Okay. There's plenty of ways to find a problem here, but they're all based on assumptions, right? Because both of these are also dilo ke tosos diber masko ad, right? It's against this tosos she savar she ki tsricha lovo lebezdin miyad vechuli, right? Tos says it's her responsibility to come to bez miyad and show them her shtar meucher, and they'll take care of her. I mean, he's not talking about him. Oh, he's talking about that as mine. But the same would apply. Okay. Another Shita the Rambam, which we didn't get into yet, but is interesting, says the Rambam in Halacha Chafhei. Let's read Chafhei. Get Chayel of Eidim Ein Bozman. O Shahaya Muktam. Eidim Ein Bozman is Pasol. That's Ein Bozman. Tukana Sman. Muktam is Pasol. Okay. That's the Mishnah. But Muktam is Pasol. O Me'uchar. Me'ocher, we just discussed. Oshin nechtam yoma nechtam b'layla shel achrav. Okay, so far not a chiddush. That's just moktam. The chiddush is afal pisha asukin ba'oto inyan. Even if they were asukin ba'oto inyan the whole time, if they're asukin ba'oto inyan the whole time, right? Meaning, she wrote the date. What's today? Thursday, right? Yud Aleph Shvat. They wrote it Yud Aleph Shvat at 5 p.m. They were sukumosu, and they're still talking about the matter. By the time he gave it to her, it was 5:45 p.m., and it was really Yud Betshvat. So it's a psul of muktam. That's not so poshut. In the Gemara Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, it says, "Amar Shmuel Ktuba Kamasa Betin Dam Yom Amasa Betin Nichtam Bayom Nichtam Balayla Af Ktuba Nichtam Bayom VeNichtam Balayla." Ktubate to Rav Chiya Bar Rav Ichtum Yom Echol Balayla Hav Rav Hatzim LaOmer LuLamidi Lamek Shmuel Sfira Late. No, Asuk Moto Inyan Hu. The Tanya, we'll just do the sixth to last line to fourth to last line of Yud Chesam and Aleph is all we need for now. Amar Belazar Rav Tzadok. We're not sure what he's talking about. Lo Shanu Elik Shein Asuk Moto Inyan. It's only possible if they weren't talking about the matter the whole time. Aval Asuk Moto Inyan Kasher. If they were talking about the issue the whole time, it's okay. Meaning Muktam is only possible if they weren't talking about it the whole time. If they were talking about it the whole time, it's no problem. This actually does come up in Halacha L'maisa, in the whole discussion of Ksuba, which is where it comes up in Daf Yechidah and Aleph, right? The whole question of what if you write the date on the Ketuba Yud Shvat, because you think the Chuppah is going to be Lefnei Ashkia, and in the end, the Chuppah is La'achar Ashkia. Is that a problem? So The many poskim say it's not a problem because it's a sukkah boto inyan. Well, you didn't like go home meanwhile. You were talking about the wedding the whole time. Okay. Now, it's a big machlokes rishonim. Tanya Amar Rilazar Ratzadok, rather. Tanya Amar Rilazar Ratzadok, lo shanu. What's he talking about? That he's machshir asukim boto inyan. Is he talking about get? Is he talking about ketubah? Is he talking about shtarchov? So the Rambam obviously holds he's not talking about get, because he holds a sukmoto inyan is puzzle in a get. Okay, fine. What Rabbi Lazar Ratzadok was talking about is arbitrary. Everyone can make up whatever they want, because we don't have an original context for this braita. But misvara, whatever he's talking about, shouldn't it apply to everything? What's the logic of a sukmoto inyan? What's the logic of a sukmoto inyan? L'chora, the logic of a sukmoto inyan is that whatever the problem of a predated shtar is, that's only a problem if there were other things that happened in between, right? So, for example, if I have a predated shtar chov, I might have a shiba, and I'll be torf l'kucho shlo kedin. That's only if, you know, there are times for other things that happen, people forget about in between. If we're talking about it the whole time, then everyone knows exactly what happened, and here I'm going to be a little vague, and nothing. It's not going to be a michshol. Basically, what's the practical problem if I write you a IOU, Yud Aleph Shvat. By the time I have it signed, it's Yud Bet Shvat. What's the problem then? That meanwhile, there are people who are going to buy my property and think there's no mortgage, and then all of a sudden there'll be a mortgage, you'll be Torah Shalok Din. Now we're talking about the thing, everyone knows what's going on. Right? Same thing with the Ketubah. Meaning everyone knows what's going on. Well, so what's the problem with the get? It's a get muktam. What's the problem with get muktam? Someone will buy the payrot, and then the woman will say, I get the Yud Aleph Shvat, but really she was only divorced in Yud Bet Shvat. What do you mean? How's a person going to buy the payroll and not know, and not check if she's divorced or not? We're in the middle of writing the get. right? What's the problem? The adultery? She's gonna. We're in the middle of Vasut Moto Inyan. We're in the middle of writing the get. They're not worried. What? They're worried she's gonna commit adultery while we're in the middle of writing the finished writing the get. In between the writing and signing the get, could she commit adultery in between writing and signing? Sure. If I write it and put it in a drawer and sign it 5 years later, and even if I sign it one day later, low plug. But if our sukkah and ba'oto inyan, it doesn't seem to be a big practical problem.
But who's the people writing the get, the aiding and everything, they'll say, the lukuchos have nothing to do with it, and they'll get pushed up by the next day, and the lady is not there either. He's writing the get, he hasn't given it to her, she's not osek ba'oto inyan, she's not involved in it, so she doesn't know what's going on.
Okay, so perhaps, now it's a little tricky. When you say the lakuchot aren't there, etc., but that could be true of every shtar chov also, and
yeah,
yet we assume
but
that.
The day, but now it's this day or that day, so they're going to be off by a day. This is going to push them off the day.
Okay, so, maybe we'll get into that. So, yeah, what does the Rambam say? It's possible? And what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, it doesn't seem to be a big practical problem. I mean, if you get about nechta b'yom and nechta b'layla, right, which does... You might have said, anytime it's signed written in the day and signed at night, come on, from day to night, how big of a practical problem is it? Okay, but that's just quantitative. Only a few hours elapsed? Okay, but where do you draw the line between a few hours and a few days and a few weeks? Time elapsed. Over here, time didn't elapse. Seems like not a practical problem, but you can say, and we'll get to this, right? Right, you can say there is a real practical shash of peirot or shemen yechapeh, although it's a little dachuk because we don't worry about a practical shash when it comes to ketubah, we don't worry about a practical shash when it comes to a shtar chov, meaning we don't normally worry about a practical shash with a sukkah b'oto inyan, but what might these two factors hint to us, of course? What these two factors seem to hint to us that perhaps for the Rambam, even going a little further than the Avnei Miluim. The Avnei Miluim said, yes, it's all about the practical chash of, it's all about the practical chash of Shem Yechaveh. Right? But they were gozer on the Sofer and Eidim, not on the Baal, for practical reasons. Maybe go a little further, right? And this is what the Rav said at a certain point when he actually got to discussing the Rambam. And this is what the Migdal Oz says, and this is what the Rugged Trevor says. Maybe you could say the Migdal Oz already says this, and the Tzafnas Paneach already says this, and the Rav already suggests this. I mean, he suggests a few different things. You could say that no, that the Tam Hatakana is Shema Yechapeh, right? And therefore, Al Shema Yechapeh, you need to know the Shas Girushin. But the Mahot HaTakana, maybe, right? Rav Shechter likes to quote this idea from the Rav, or quote it in half by half, in two halves, that the reason behind the Takana of the Chacham is not necessarily the same as the Ofi HaTakana, right? The reason the Takana might be to achieve goal X, but that doesn't mean they said, let's make it the Takana, you have to achieve goal X. Rather, meaning, not let's make it to Kana, you have to achieve goal X, but we'll make some technical exceptions. Or let's make it to Kana, you have to achieve the closest you can to goal X, but we'll find the person who listened to our takana. No, the nature of the Kana is they just made formal takanas that fit within the conceptual structure of the halacha. So you could say, no, the Kana is just a din, like the Rambam says, din b'chatima ta'edim, sheyachtanu, Bismano, maybe they just, not like the Nulun, they made a gzera on the Edim to make sure to get the right Zman. No, maybe they made a gzera on the Edim, just a formal gzera. Now, okay, let's have to take one step further. But why did they make this formal gzera on the Edim that they should be choten in the Zman? I mean, why not just say, let's make a gzera to get as close as possible to our goal? What I'm basically claiming is, going further than the Avnei Miluim, it wasn't that they want to get as close as possible to their practical goal by finding the people who would listen to them, and that's the best they can do. And there's no point talking to someone who won't listen to them. It's that when they made the takana, they didn't make the takana of. The reason was a practical goal. And all the questions of Maho'ilu are, is it at least somewhat close to the practical goal. But Lemaisa, once you answer is it somewhat close to the practical goal, the takana is a formal takana with a life of its own. And why would it be a formal takana with a life of its own? Rav Schechter likes to quote Rav Salavechik all the time. Says, call the tikkun rabbanim king to write a tikkun. Whenever the rabbanim made a takana, they preferred to find a conceptual basis within the halacha. Where is a conceptual basis within the halacha that you would need zman? Obviously, go back to our first shiur of the semester. Where is the doraisa basis of needing zman? Drisha v'chakira, right? Keep in mind, maybe midoraisa, you do need drisha v'chakira. It's just according to the Mugi Yosef, the rabbanim took it off for. Ni'ila Delet / Igun, and then they put it back because of Badachoto or Peirot, or even if you say not, like Zelig Reb Chaim, right? Midoraisa, the concept of Drisha v'Chakira, okay, the concept of Drisha v'Chakira doesn't apply to this particular kind of Eidot, but there is a concept of Drisha v'Chakira, and that is exactly, give me a second, that is exactly what the Rugged Trevor suggests here. I'm reading down the Lulim. Because you need drish v'chakira, and that's, give me a second, says the Migdal Oz, and the Migdal Oz on the bottom of the Rambam, oh, it's very small print here, so I'll say it, quote it by heart, says, what's the problem with getting ma'ochar? He doesn't want to say, like the Kesef Mishnah and the Rivash and the Me'iri, there's some practical problem that our Takana is trying to solve. He's not convinced by any of those practical problems. He's not convinced there's such problems. Rather, he says, what's the problem? Well, already the Shol Meshur Rivash says, the problem is just there's a false Zman. Who says it has to be a practical problem? Isn't that enough of a problem? And then Migdal Oz says, more pointedly, he says, the problem is Shinu Yimatbeya Haget. What's the whole point of Shinu Yimatbeya Haget? We don't necessarily care about what the practical implications are. There's just formal rules for a get. And if you go on in the Migdal Oz, I apologize, I think, when I put the like Keta with the ellipsis, I didn't include this part. He goes on a little later and says, because of which is basically connected to the concept of Drisha, v'Hakira, Sheyachta v'Zmano, and Alpi Hadoraisa of Drisha v'Hakira / Eidah Sheyachta Yachal LaHazima. Basically, the model, right? What they did is basically they reinstated some level of, give me a second, they reinstated. Give me a second. Ah, and what's the best raya? What's the best raya for this chiddush? I admit it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush that you're right, they had a practical goal in mind. And we have a shakta v'targa ensuring that we more or less most of the time meet that practical goal, at least in a lot of circumstances, that it's still practically worthwhile. But the nature of the takana is a formal takana of the Adam signing the right time. The Eidim should sign and say the right time, meaning not no time and not the wrong time. And why? Based on the model Drisha v'Chakira. What's the best right that we use in the model Drisha v'Chakira? We point out last time, says the Rambam, v'chein itkinush kam sheyichto zman beget umakom ksivaso kashar hashtaros. Why? Why write zman and makom? Shemati ishto kravaso v'tiznik shutachto v'yichlo kishemichapo basachoso. How did the makom prevent yichapo basachoso? Manyan makom itzal basachoso, right? So, the issue of makom, which the Kesef Mishnah says that no, he's not giving the reason for makom, right? Says the Kesef Mishnah dochak. It's certainly very dochak. He says no. The reason is not going on makom. The rabbi's writing, they were attacking Zman and Mako. Mako, I'm not telling you why. Zman, because of Barachoto. That is a bit of a chiddush. Simple, I know they were attacking Mako because of Barachoto. Why are they even attacking the Mako because of Barachoto? The Mako has nothing to do with whether she committed adult, whether she slept with a man before or after divorce, whether she was married or single when she slept with a man. Rather, if you assume, no, they look for Doraisa model. The Doraisa model is Drisha v'Chakira. And therefore, when they were talking Drisha v'Chakira, give me a second, they were talking Zman and Makom. Where do we find that? We find this very explicitly in the Tosos Rid. Interestingly, by the way, the Gemara never says, you can read all of the Sechas Gittin, that you need to write Makom in a get. It says you write the wrong Makom, it's possible. It never says you need to write Makom, but the Rambam thinks you need to write Makom. The Tosos Rid in Daf Peyam and Beth says, was it Peyam and Beth? What did I write?
Peyam and Aleph.
Peyam and Aleph. Thank you. says the Tosos Rid in Daf Pei Amud Aleph. He says here, when it comes to writing the wrong date, says, what's the problem with writing the wrong date? He says, give me a second, yeah. Shalom HaKosvon HaMakom Gethin HaBashtaros. Why do you write the Makom? Kedei Shetira Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima. So it'll be Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima, which is the idea of Jerusha HaKira. She'azomi Hitluya B'zmanu HaMakom Kedei Tanam B'Sanhedrin Be'ezo Yom Be'ezo Shah, etc. Okay, why do we write the Makom in the Zman? So it'll be Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima. We know that's not true. We know the Gemara says, why do you write Zman Beget? Meaning, if you needed Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima, if you need Jerusha HaKira, then why do they say Bata Choto and why? We know what the Rid said is not true. How do you explain the Rid? The Rid says, you need Makom and Zman, so it'll be Yachal Azima, so it'll be Jewish Vachakira. We know that's against our Gemara. What do you have to say for the Tosas Rid? You have to say this word in the Rambam, right? Plus the Tosas Rid, you have to say this word in the Rambam. Ah, our Gemara says it's because of Herod or Bata Choto. Tosas Rid says because of Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima. How do you put two and two together? The only way to put two and two together is to assume that because of Bata Choto or Peiro, they made the Dakana on the basis of the Doraisa. They resurrected this Doraita of Eidos She'ata Yachal HaZima of Drisha V'Hakira. Now, there are, you know what, let me bring many other Rayot for a moment as well. Let me bring one or two, yeah. Discriminating? Yeah.
I think it fits
them as well, right? Because in Gazi Lishman, there's no Eder Sheker. You chopped out the Zman after it, there's no Eder Sheker, so that's why it's kosher. Right? Let me just bring a few other rayas from the Rama to this Yisod. So then it's, one second, Nicha, Shaharei, Heidu, Al Hazman. And this is also Nicha. Who cares if he gave it later? When they were made on the Zman. Of course, getting Mocher being puzzled is also Nicha. Shaharei Heidu, Alzman Sheker. They failed the Drisha V'Chakira. How about number four? This is also Nicha. Even though there's no practical problem with Asukim Boto Inyan, you're right, Asukim Boto Inyan, no one's going to lose money. No one's going to get away with anything. There's no practical problem, but still, they lied in their Eidot, right? Afalpi She'ein Hashlachot. Right? Hashlachot B'maisa Mikol Makom Heidu Alzman Sheker. And this, of course, explains what Makom is doing here, right? Kevan de Tiknu Albasis Dindrisha V'Chakira Tiknu Makom B'Yachad Im Zman. I want to make some other diukim for this. Let me make some other diukim. I'll make a few other diukim. Number one, the Rambam says, Tiknu Zman Makom Kishar Shtaros. Why does he have to add Kishar Shtaros? So, you never know how seriously to take this, and actually there's a technical problem because you have to ask, is the rule of business documents actually the same as this or not? And you have to go to Hilchos Eidos and work it out, and it gets very complicated. I'm not promising anything now. But why say Kishar Shtaros? I think Kishar Shtaros makes sense. Why do you have to throw in Kishar Shtaros? He's saying, this is not a specific rule about Bata Choto, which then would have nothing to do with Shar Shtarot. No, I use the model, the Chazal used the model of Shar Shtarot. There's a local problem they want to address, but they didn't address the local problem with a local solution. They addressed the local problem with a global concept that they applied here as well. So, Anicha Dehutrach Harambam Lehosef Kishar Shtaros. That makes perfect sense. And also, this is a deal you might or might not like. The Rambam is redundant in his Lashon. Says the Rambam, why? Therefore, they're metakin zman begitin. Why does he have to repeat lefikach tiknuzman begitin? Tiknuzman begitin because of X. Therefore tiknuzman. Right? If I was a speaker, they would say, no, you're being too wordy. You shouldn't say, right, they made the law that you have to wear seatbelts because otherwise it'll be dangerous in a crash. Therefore, they made the law of seatbelts. No, why do I have to say it twice? Maybe the Rambam has to say it twice to say, no, they're mitakin this, and they want to solve this problem. And lefikach, because of it, don't think they just solved this problem. Don't think they just told you solved this problem. Therefore, they made a takana of objective takana of zman. So maybe I say it twice to tell you they made a takana. Why? Because of this reason. But don't think that it's limited to this reason. Don't think the substance of the takana is bound to the reason. Rather, the substance of the takana transcends the reason. Therefore, he adds lefikach. Therefore, they made the takana. And here's all the rules of the takana. And it doesn't necessarily have to conform to the reason. They just made an objective rule. Okay, I'm not convinced of that. But maybe you can say that. Now, let me bring two other rayos, and then I'll let everyone argue with me. There's one weakness I have. Not more than that. The other great raya, I think, is the Perusha Mishnayos. The Rama and the Perusha Mishnah argues on our Gemara, which is strange, why he disagrees with the Pavli. It's strange the Rama and the Perusha Mishnah disagrees with the Pavli. Normal answer is, he holds like the Rishalmi. The problem is, I didn't put on the card, so if you look up the Rishalmi here, it doesn't seem to say that in the Rishalmi either, unless, you know, he had some very radical shot or different gears in the Rishalmi, which already is vain speculation. So I can't tell you why the Rambam disagreed with the Bavli, but I can tell you why he said what he said, because it fits his shita. And the Rambam is striking. Let's remember what the Bavli says. Someone remind me where the Rambam is in these? Where can I find the Rambam in an Ozva Hadar? After the Rif?
After the Tosefta?
After the Tosefta. Boy, they really put the Rambam in Golos. So here we are, next to Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, Tosas Yontif. They think they put the Rambam with the Achronim? I love these Achronim. But, okay, what can you do? Okay. So, let's remember what the Bavli says. The Bavli says, why do the Chachamim hold Nechta v'yom and Nechta v'layla is pasul, but Shimon holds its kosher? The Bavli says, they're both trying to achieve the practical goal of preventing mistakes, but either the Chachamim hold it's because of Basachoso, and she's allowed to sleep with another man from the time of Nesina, so therefore you need the date of Nesina. But Rav Shimon holds it because of Peros, and the Baal loses Peros for Shas Ksiva, so the date of Ksiva is fine without Chasima. Basically, the Bavli, Bain the Rav Yochanan, and the Rishlach, the Bavli says, what's the svar of Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon's also practical. Right? Rav Shimon's practical, and he says, since you lose the Peros for Shas Ksiva, as long as you have the date of Ksiva, who cares when they sign it? And the Rabbanan hold, you lose the Peros for Shas Chasima, or because of Basachoso, and therefore, that's no good. What did the Rambam say? Meaning, the Yesod is, Reb Shimon holds it's about Peros and you lose Peros b'shas Ksiva, and the Chachamim hold you lose Peros b'shas Chasima or Nesina, depending on which Amora. That's very clear. The Yesod HaMachlok is when the Baal loses Peros. Says the Rambam, not that way at all. Says the Rambam, Reb Shimon Machshir Lefisha Ein Lezman Etzlein Beget Isha Tvelas Meruba. Says, no, this man is not so important. Lefisha Iker Etzlein Etzikas Man Beget Et Amnum Mishum Basachoso. This man's not so, how does he start explaining Reb Shimon? First of all, Argamar has Reb Shimon be Perot. He puts him as Batachoto. He says, because Zman's not really so important. It's only to prevent Yichapel Batachoto. Okay, but still, why is it kosher if it is the wrong Zman? And then he says, Shema tiz the tatum ishis. Eshem yichtov gebel ozman kabu v'yithil v'tomer l'inu she'idu al znos ani grusha kfar ayisi b'zeh zom zeh kev yadid. Lefikach, ein ben ayom v'alayla she'yitchadesh kamo zeh. Ein alach kev Shimon. He has a totally new explanation for Shimon. Shimon holds because of Batachoto. And that's not so important. And what's the problem? The problem is she might commit adultery and he'll give her a get with the wrong date or with no date, you know, to cover up for her. It says, you know what? From daytime to nighttime, nechta b'yom and nechta b'layla, what are the odds that she'll commit adultery between today and tonight? And this problem will come up. Basically, how does he explain Rav Shimon? He explains Rav Shimon that it's not such a big deal. It's only because of Barachoto. And in such a short while, there's no likelihood of a practical problem. Okay, so totally new Pshat of Reb Shimon. Right now, there is a day in the Gemara later on, excuse me, that Reb Shlakish holds that Reb Shimon was only master from the day and the night and not longer, but for a totally different reason. Okay, now, What's interesting about this Rambam? What's interesting is what he didn't write. I don't mean what he could have written but didn't. I mean the next sentence that he didn't bother to write, because it's obvious. Let's finish the Rambam's paragraph. The Rambam says, Rav Shimon says, written at, doesn't have to be a sukkah molto inyan, right? Written at noon and given at midnight is okay, because what's the big deal? What are the odds of a barachoto problem between noon and midnight on the same secular calendar day, right? So what are the Rabbanan answer? Remember, for our Gemara, the Rabbanan answer, no, we have a different shita about Perot and Barachoto. For Shimon's because of Barachoto. Rabbanan's also because of Barachoto. How do I know? Because in the Mishnah Torah, Paskin's Barachoto. So Rav Shimon says Basachoso. The Rabbanan say Basachoso. So what's the difference between them? What's the Nekuda and Hamachloket? Rav Shimon says Basachoso, and it's not really a big deal in a few hours. Don't worry about anything practically going wrong. And what do the Chacham say back? The Chacham say back, no, we're more worrywarts than you are, and we think even in 12 hours, you might have this terrible znus problem. Probably not. Rav Shimon was a small warrior, and the Chachamim were big warriors. You know, Rav Shimon was a Jewish father, and the Rabbanim were a Jewish mother. Now, Lechor, that's not the Yisod of the Machlokas. What's the Yisod of the Machlokas? Rav Shimon says, what's to worry about? Nothing's going to happen in terms of the reason behind the Takana from today to tonight. And what do the Chachamim say back? We know nothing's going to happen, but it's a formal takana. The rule is the rule. We don't care about whether it's going to lead to Shemi Yechapa or not. We care, did you fulfill the rule, or did you not fulfill the rule? As Abe quoted from when he does deal with the Chachamim, Yiga Eidu Sheker. And that's the Machlokes. The Rambam did say. The Rabbanan say, it's false, it's false. And Rav Shimon says, nothing bad is going to happen. It's not a big deal. It won't lead to a problem. The Rabbanan would say, I know it won't lead to a problem, but it's still false. The Rambam of Furish and Peshah Mishnah, the Machloksin, I know it's against the Bible. The Machloksin, Rav Shimon and the Chacham, is that Rav Shimon looks at it in terms of the practical results of the Tam Hadin, and the Chachamim look at it as a formal Mahot Hadin of Emes and Sheker, which is exactly this pshat in the Rambam. Meaning, he doesn't go as far as Drisu and Hakir, but the idea that it's a formal pshat which transcends its reason, right? Here, what are we saying? We're saying that Tzarek Zman HaChatima Beget, you know, as a way of getting the Sofer Ve'edim to prevent Shema Yechapeh, that's the Amelie. When we're saying, no, Tzarek Sheyachtemu Bizmano as a formal requirement, and that is exactly Pirush HaMishnah. He says that Reb Shimon Machshir, because there's no practical problem, but Chachamim Poslim, because it's formally Sheker, which is exactly, you know, basically, that's what the Shoal said in the Rivash. Get Mocher is puzzled because it's Sheker. I don't care whether it's really a problem or not. And the Rivash says, no, that's ridiculous. It's puzzled because it could be a problem. But the Shoal was right in the Shoal Rivash. Just look at the Parash Mishnayis. It's Rav Shimon who thinks, look at whether the reason applies. And the Chacham say it transcends the reason for the din. There's the Ofi HaTakana, it transcends the Tam HaTakana. And therefore, it just has to be the true date, not a false date.
Why don't you say the real reason is that we are coaches? Because this particular case is likely not, but 5 days later, 10 days later,
okay, fair enough. What you're saying is the Chacham could say lo plug of a problem of Barachoto. It's not Maduik and Losh of the Rambam, because the Rambam says because it's Sheker. The Rambam could have said because lo plug, right? So you, meaning, of course you could have said that, but that's not what it sounds like the Beresh Mishnayot. Right? Avadi could have said that. That's like much of halacha works.
The model that you present here is all built on formal edus. But what about the maslul that says that shtar is not formal edus, it's a separate maslul, where all of the dinim of drisha v'chakira and hazama fall away?
Okay, so the that is a great question. And I think what you have to say is that if you say, no, this is the regular maslul, just like Mukha Yosef, they took it away and put it back, tenach. even if you say there's a different maslol that never needed drisha like here in the first place, you could say, nonetheless, the Rambam took the model with different maslol and applied it here even though it wasn't necessary. Why? Because the reason is Barachoto. For the reason of Basachoso, he took a model for a different maslol called Shar Shtoros and applied it here where it's not necessary. That's okay. You can take a model from a different maslol and apply it to this maslol. He's not saying Doraisa you need in this maslol. Just he took a model. Let me bring one other raya, which I think is a nice raya, which is not so clear in Shas. The Rugacher points out the Rambam is being a chiddush, and I think these are all my rayos. The Rambam has two shitas which are not obvious. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, says the Rambam that you can't write b'mchubar. But b'di'eved, as long as you were tolesh the get, and then wrote Shem Ha'ish, V'Shem Ha'isha, V'Hazman, and Harayat Mutaris V'Kol Adam, that's good enough. Meaning, b'di'eved, what is necessary to write b'talosh? Well, Harayat Mutaris V'Kol Adam, that makes sense. That's the ikar of the get. The Shem Ha'ish and Shem Ha'isha makes sense because Harayat Mutaris V'Kol Adam. Who's Mutaris V'Kol Adam? And who's divorcing who, right? Meaning, V'Shocha Mibeso means the husband is Mater, the wife. The Zman needs to be written B'Tolosh, not B'Mchubar. That doesn't say that anywhere in Shas. Doesn't say anywhere in Shas that Le'ikuva, you need to write the Zman when it's already Tolosh. Basically, what do we mean by we need to write the Zman when it's Tolosh? V'Kasav V'Nosan, right? V'Kasav V'Nosan means that it shouldn't be Mechusar K'tzitza between K'tiva and Netina, right? That it has to be givable at the Shat K'tiva, so that V'Kasav has to be when it's givable. It's not givable if it hasn't been cut off the ground yet. Okay, so what's the ikar v'kasav? What I'm saying, what's the ikar v'kasav? Four things. The man's name, the woman's name, harayat mutaris v'kol adam, all of which are intuitive, and the zman. The zman is the ikar v'kasav. Adds the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, which it almost says in Shas, says the Rambam that they let the sofer write the tofes. Right? We know what a tofes means, right? Like the tofes without the blinks filled in, like in modern Hebrew. They let the sofer write the tofes in advance, which is obviously not lishma. He doesn't know who it's for. But he has to leave out the man's name, the woman's name, the makom hazman, harayat mutaris v'kol adam. Why does he have to leave these out? That says in the Mishnah. But what do other mefarshim say? He has to leave out the man's name, the woman's name, harayat mutaris v'kol adam, so he'll write them lishma. He has to leave out the zman, because he doesn't know what zman to write yet. Right? Because if he writes a Zman, then it might be Muktam or Ma'ocher. That's what I might have read the Mishnah as saying, of course, he can write the Tofes, he can't yet write the man's name, the woman's name, and Harayat Mutaris V'Kol Adam, because that's V'Kasav. And he can't yet write the Zman, because he doesn't know the Zman. But, adds the Rambam, says the Rambam, K'dei sheyichtin, give me a second, L'shem ha'isham agarish, shlem ha'isham etzgaresh, they have to written L'shma. Basically, the Rambam holds four things have to be written B'Tolosh, and four things have to be written L'shma, which is the same Shita. Four things are the definition of V'Katav. Everything else is gravy, is the fine print. Four things are Ma'akev as K'tivat HaGet, Ploni is Mater, Plonit L'chol Adam, on today, on this date. Why is the Zman need to be written L'shma and B'Tolosh? Why is the Zman an ikar part of the K'tiva? If the Zman was just a takana to prevent Bat HaChoto, then it should be like all the fine print of the get. Yeah, it's a side point. That's not the ksiva that has to be done l'shma. That's a side point. What do we see from the Rambam? We see from the Rambam that this man is considered part of the ktiva of the get and not one of the many side points that clarify the get. What? It could be only Darabanan. A lot of Rishonim say it's only Darabanan. The Beit Shmuel and Shulchan Aruch discusses this. So, hold on a second. Says the Rambam. What
distinguishes between Zman and Malkum?
That the Zman, give me a second. Sarech likatev lishma uvetolosh equals, maybe only Drabanan. It's considered Iker Haget and not just a side point. Why is it considered ikar get and not the sign point? There's a lot of things in the get that don't have to be written l'shma, and that don't have to be written le'ikuva be'talosh. Right? There's many things. V'dein v'yihavi leichi minaychi get shavukin v'igeres get piturin v'igeres shavukin v'whatever exactly it says. Right? Right. Look how many things you write in the get. For example, you write where the Baal lives, where the Isha lives. That doesn't say that. You write a lo anisna versus not lo anisna. I'm doing it of free will. You don't have to write that. You write, meaning there's a lot of side points of legalese that don't have written lishma. Why does man have to written lishma? So you could come up with whatever explanation you want. You could say, oh, just it seems interesting. You know, it's unique. You know, it's not standard. Every day is a new Zman. But it could be that it's Ram L'shitase. No, Zman is not a side point to Kana. Like, besides the get, you also need Zman. They built this into the Iker content of the get. The Iker content of the get has to be the Zman. Because they needed a formal part of the get and not just a solution to a practical problem. Okay, I'm not saying it's Mukhrach, but it is very, very Nicha that the Rambam has the Shita, which is not Mukhrach from Shas. One thing which I will point out that does get a little interesting is, and here everyone will have something else to say, and I think Abe has something to say, and probably other people, that I really think this is Mukhrach, this part of the Rambam. The Rambam has a very, very different way of looking at Zman than all the other Rishonim, and more different than even the Avnei Yiluim thinks he does. The one tricky part I'll point out is, how about the idea of Mukkel? Right? Mukkel is sort of half in, half out here, right? What do you mean half in, half out? From the very beginning, the Rambam writes that even in the original halacha, halacha of Dalet, notice how funny it is. Hitkinu chom sheichlo zman beget umakom k'tivato k'shar shtarot. Why, Shema, etc., etc. Lefikach tiknu zman begin. He starts out tiknu zman and mukkel, and then ends up tiknu zman. And then when the Rambam continues, if it has no zman or muktum or ma'orchar, or it's written in the wrong place, it's possible until your chotim bizman uve makom tivato. It has to have the right zman and makom. The Rambam never says if it has the wrong makom, it's possible. That's a Mishnah Taka. The Rambam never says if it has no makom, it's possible. It's not clear. It's you and Dike and the Rambam. It sounds like makom is part of the takana, but then he says it's not part of the takana. They were talking zman, right? If you have the wrong makom, it's possible because of this takana. But if you have no makom, it's not possible. If you have no zman, it's possible. Like, makom is sort of like a second-class citizen in this takana. And when the Rambam talks about lishma, right, and about mechuber, he doesn't say the makom. He only says the zman. So, like, makom is half in, half out. What exactly is makom? Makom is very confusing here. Why is makom half in and half out here? Bidochak, I could say, but I won't. No, the Rambam always means makom is the same as zman, like the Tosos Rid makes it seem. Tosos Rid makes them seem exactly equal. Yeah, the Rambam really holds they're exactly equal, just sometimes he doesn't mention makom because it's obvious. But that's not meduyik. I'm not going to go with that. So what's found in this makom and zman according to the Rambam? Why is makom half in, half out? So, again, let's review where makom is in. In the beginning of Chaf Dalet, take the zman and makom. In Halacha Chaf Hey, if you write the wrong makom, it's pasul, because it needs to be signed in the zman and the makom. There it's in, three times. But it's out three times. At the end of Halacha Dal, Fika Tiknu Zman, and in Chaf Hey, he never says without a makom it's possible. Maybe it is, but he doesn't say so, right? And in these ones, in Perak Aleph and Perak Gimel, he never says you need the Shema and Talush. He never says the Iker Ksiva is the makom. So how does makom tie into this? So here I will. It's a mystery, and Rav Lichtenstein Shira on this sugya. He got very frustrated with this whole mahalach because, you know, makom is not fitting in well. And he wasn't sure if he even bought this whole mahalach. I'll make a suggestion. I'll make a suggestion based on the continuation of our Gemara. Anyone know in real Drisha v'Chakira, right? How many questions are there in real Drisha v'Chakira?
Seven.
Who remembers what they are? The Shavua, remember? Shavua in Shas never means Shavua in modern Hebrew. It means the Shemitah cycle, the Shana, the Chodesh, the Yom of the Chodesh, the Yom of the week, right? How do you say week in Gemara if it's not Shavua? Shabbos, right? That's five. The Sha'ah and the Makom, right? You need seven facts for Drisha v'Chakira. Okay. How many facts are Ma'akev in the Takan of Shtaros? Of Zman Beget. How many do you need? Le'ikuva and Zman Beget. Le'ikuva, how many of those seven things do you need to write in the get so it'll be kosher but le'ikuva? One, it's enough. Meaning it's enough. Meaning you never write, you never have seven. You never write sha'os. There's a minhag or a takana, we don't know why, but outside of Yerushalayim, you never write sha'ot. So you maximum have six, because somehow there's an established nohag, the minhag, not to write sha'ot. And if you only write the week, that's good enough. If you only write the month, that's good enough. If you only write the year, that's good enough. Even if you only write the shavua, that's good enough. Even though, strangely, ahani, the shavua, the kami, the shavua, the batrei, which for the Rambam is not so bad, you're right, it doesn't solve a lot of practical problems. But it sneaks in formally. So it does exclude something, but maybe I think this is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam looked at the Gemara and said, put two and two together, he said, the Gemara requires what I'm going to look at as a takeoff from Drisha B'Chakira. The Gemara requires a Zman, but you know what, it's only Ma'akev to have a partial Drisha B'Chakira. It's only Ma'akev to have part of it. You can't have any falsehood, right? If I write the right year and the right month and the wrong day, all falsehood is possible. But what does the Rambam understand the takana? You should write a good zman, but b'di'eved, as long as there's no sheker, and as long as you have a partial zman, that's good enough. That's not the Rambam's chiddush. That's the Gemara, right? Says the Rambam, let's stick makom and make it like one of the questions of zman. L'chatchila, you need makom as part of the takana. Just like l'chatchila, you need to write the full zman, the full day. B'di'eved, if you write the wrong makom, it's possible, just like the wrong day is possible. However, b'di'eved, if you don't write a makom at all, it's not possible. And therefore, if you don't write the makom l'shma, it's not a problem. If you don't write the makom b'tolosh, it's not a problem. Because b'di'eved, even one drisha v'chakira is good enough. Just like the shavua is good enough without the day, the shavua is also good enough without the makom. So I'll claim that even though the Rambam put makom half in and half out, that does fit in this model. Because look at the Gemara. You don't need full drisha v'chakira. L'chatchila, you need six out of the seven questions, and b'di'eved, one of them is good enough. So just like b'di'eved, shavua is good enough for that yom, b'di'eved, shavua is good enough for that makom also, and it's not the end of the world. And just like the right shavua and chodesh and shana with the wrong yom is possible, the right shavua, shana, chodesh and yom with the wrong makom is possible. So basically for the Rambam, makom has exactly the same status as the day of the month. You know, l'chatchila should have a full eidos, b'di'eved, a partial is enough to be yotzei the takana, they were more mekel. And maybe that's why makom is half in, half out. So I think I can have an explanation of makom that fits with this structure. If someone wants to have a different explanation of makom or come with a totally different mahalach, I'm always interested in hearing. You know, if someone wants to say, no, there's actually tzvei dinim and there's something much more complicated going on, I'm willing to listen. But I think that given that makom already has a b'di'evet in l'chatchila, given that within zman already there's a b'di'evet in l'chatchila, it makes sense that makom could also be part of that b'di'evet l'chatchila, and therefore I think it still fits in the Rambam. Okay, kach nirali alpi v'dolei achronim b'das ha-Rambam. Now, if there's no more questions, we're ready to start today's shir. Okay, let's start today's shir. See, never too late to start today's shir. So there he's agreeing with the Rambam. I assume he meant the place on the paper to write the Ish and the Isha, not the place the Ish and Isha live. Right, so he also includes Zman, so that's interesting. That is a good point. That is a good point. Okay, unless you're ultimately going to say, like, what does Rashi say here about Toref? He says, Mokum Giloy. I mean, it's the place that teaches you things you don't know, right? Giloy. Maybe the Rambam has a different way of looking at Toref. For him, Toref is not necessarily about the lumder status of everything, but about, you know, what parts of the get are more informational and what parts are less informational. So you can have a different mahalach. Okay, I'll admit that. Let's go on to our next question. Who knows how to take a picture of the board? Chora Chaim should. The Chaim doesn't know how to take a picture of the board. We're in big trouble. The question is, you know how to take the picture of the board, you know, with that excuse of for a camera. Okay. Now I want to I want to leave the world of the Takan of Zman Beget. We spent a long time on the Dereis of Zman and Get, the Rabban of Zman and Get. I want to talk about something very, very fascinating that constitutes the background of the Takan of Zman Beget, which is Pirot. When does the Baal lose his right to the Pirot of his wife's property? If we recall, forgetting the Rabban Pirot from Shanaias here, according to the Gemara, there are three shitas when the husband loses the right to his wife's peirot. What are the three shitot? We might have had this on the board once already. Right, when does we have ibud zechut haba'al lepeirot nechse ishto? Right, it's a full explanation of what we're talking about. When does that happen? That happens. There are three shitos. One shita is Rav Shimon, Mishak Tiva, at least that's what it seems like in Daf Yitzayin and Beis. And that's why, who cares when they sign it? As long as the date of the Ktiva is accurate, that's good enough. Second shot is Chachamin Lefi Reish Lakish. Mishak Chatima. I know when we're going to have to deal with how Dafka this is. And third is the Chachamim Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, and this is in fact how we paskin, Mishat Netina. Okay, which of these three shitas is not Mechudesh at all? The third one is not Mechudesh at all. What happens at Shat Netina? At Shat Netina, she's divorced. That's the Shas Cholos Gerushin. Now, the Rav does have whole fancy explanations of Rabbi Yochanan's shita. But I don't think you need fancy explanations. When does he lose his rights? When they're divorced. When they're married, he gets peiros. When they're divorced, he doesn't. This doesn't need any explanation. The svara is pashut. This is the shita that doesn't need explanation.
Why did the Rav
give it? I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not responsible for that. He's smarter than I am, but I'm still not responsible. Now,
maybe
who needs explanation? What?
Maybe Hasim has more logic. That's the shot for your soon, and that's the shot that the Lutuchos know about. I mean,
she had that moment. Okay, hold that thought. Maybe, I'm not sure how long you'll have to hold it. But, which is the next, which shita does the Gemara explain? The Gemara explains the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Where does the Gemara explain this? On the bottom of Daf Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, the fourth and third to last lines of Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, Amar Rava, my time of Rav Shimon. What's the reason for Rav Shimon? Again, I know this is the answer on Perish Mishnayis. We're not going to solve that now. What's the reason for Rav Shimon according to the Bavli? Kasavar came to Natani Navligarsha, Shud Ein Lo Peirot. Once he Natani La'inav, that means decided. Once he decided to divorce her, he loses his chut to Peirot. Okay, that's not really an explanation as much as a restatement, perhaps. Therefore, what? But, what's the svara? Right? Mishat tiva, meaning, mikevan shenatan einav ligarsha. Once he decided to divorce, he doesn't get payrot. Now, here's the interesting question, but it's not an explanation. My taima, meaning, it's almost like just repeating it in different words. What's the reason? Actually, he doesn't get payrot once he decided to divorce her. And when does he decide to divorce her? When he writes again. Okay, reasonable enough. It's often hard to know when someone decided to do something unless you see what they're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
Mishanasa Beinu Bolagarsha, you can't live with her either, and that might be before he writes again.
Exactly, that's how they explain it.
Aha. Okay, interesting question. Yeah. So it could very well be, as we see in the Gemara Daf Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, that from a certain time, he's not allowed to live with her, right? Meaning, from the time of... Here it's a little tricky. From the time he's not an Einel Begarsha, it's B'nai Teisha Midot, the Gemara Nedarim, that is considered, terrible on the supernatural level if he lives with her. From the time of Ksivas Haget, there's actually a din of Get Yashan that it is a halachic zera against living with her. Okay, let's keep that in mind. Now, if I were to ask you, let's say you didn't know any Shas, or you did. You just aren't thinking the same direction that the Rav is. Why, just because he wrote a get and decided to divorce her, why should he lose the right to peiros? What might you say?
He's not going to miss her.
What?
At that point, he's going to take as much as he can. He's not going to be using it
advantage. Right? It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that if he wants to be married to her, then, look, life isn't fair. Someone's always getting the better end of the deal, the worst end of the deal. Someone's always nice and they're not nice, whatever. And the halacha can't take that, all that into account, right? But if they're married, then they're married. This is how Chazal tell that transaction works. But if he's just waiting to divorce her, meanwhile he's making some money while he's waiting to divorce her, then it is not fair that he should get financial benefits if he's not committed to the relationship. What does it mean not committed? We're not going to go judge every guy's heart, you know, how committed he is. But if he's actually nusinin of Garsha, and certainly nusinin of Garsha in a very, very concrete way, then it's not fair. Okay, so it could be the Svara called it's not fair. Maybe we can find a Hebrew phrase for that. Okay, but that's good enough.
Okay. That is the whole question.
I meant a rabbinic phrase.
Whether we do financial time or not, so that's a question.
Aha, okay.
So but before I know the machlokes, I'd say, Pasha, if they're not living together, she has to eat. And she has to.
Aha, okay, but just to be fair, that the Gemara points out that peirot are not keneged mezonot. Masi adeha is keneged mezonot. So even if they're not living together, he could still get her salary and pay for her maintenance.
If he has, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't have to.
Okay, so that's a good question. So let's get into that in a moment. Now, let's read one more Gemara, and then we'll be ready to analyze whether Tzvi was entirely correct or could there be more than meets the eye, which Tzvi also knows. He was just answering my question. I understand. So says the Gemara Daf Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, Itmar. It's very fat. Basically, what is this next Gemara doing here? It's obvious the next Gemara is doing here even though it has nothing to do with the Takan of Zman Beget, is that it has to do with the Sha'ot of Netina and Kedivan, Chatima, etc. So it has to do with the various times involved. Me'imatai mon in the get. When do we count the 3 months from a get? Where if a woman gets divorced, she has to wait 3 months before remarrying for Havchana, right? So that we can identify the paternity of a baby. So when do we start counting the 3 months? Given that, let's recall, as was pointed out, they are forbidden to live together after the get is written. That's the takana of get yashan. Any get which was written and then they slept together, you're not allowed to use. Which means you're not allowed to sleep together and still use this get. So they stopped sleeping together at shat k'tiva. They only got divorced at shat netina. So when do you count the 3 months? Rav Amar Shas Nesina, Ushmuel Amar Shas K'siva. Okay, Mas Kiflor Rav Nasbar Hoshi L'Shmuel. Shmuel makes sense, right? Shmuel makes sense. Shat k'tiva. The whole point is for paternity. Paternity is only an issue when they are engaging in conjugal relations. Since they were forbidden in conjugal relations from the Shat K'tiva, therefore that counts towards the 3 months. Maskif Lar of Nasr Hoshi L'Shmuel, which the Maskif would seem to imply what Rav Sar is, which Tosa is very explicit about. Yom Ru Shtei Nashim Echatzar Acha Zosar Vizumuteris. No, I don't like that. They're going to say two women in the same courtyard, in the same apartment complex. One is Usher, one is Mutter. What does it mean? He means like, I understand what you're saying. What does it mean? Logically, it makes sense. If he wrote the get in Nisan and delivered it in Sivan, she should start counting 3 months from Nisan because they stopped living together, so there's no issue of paternity. But then there'll be two women who were divorced in Sivan. Everyone doesn't know when their get was written. Everyone knows they were divorced. Two women divorced in Sivan. One can remarry a month later, one can remarry 3 months later. The whole way reason low plug zeros have to be across the board. So apparently the machloket is that Shmuel thinks we should just look in this particular case at when she stopped sleeping with her husband and count 3 months. And Rav thinks, no, we have to make a low plug so that it won't be confusing and we'll have one rule that applies to everyone and it won't seem to be too flexible.
That's assuming that that people know about the Sina and don't know about the Sina?
I mean, I don't understand. If your neighbor gets divorced, you know exactly when they got divorced. That everyone's talking about in shul. When they filed in court, nobody knows. I mean, if you want to, you could look it up, but it's not interesting.
It is a ksiba v'chasima. Maybe there's a kol already.
Okay, fair. But apparently, nonetheless, right, Rav's not somich on that. Okay, Amar Li Abaye, Zozvan Gita Mochechel, Zozvan Gita Mochechel. Says, no, Shmuel's not worried about this. He's not worried about the fact it'll be confusing, because you can always look at the lady's get, and you'll see, this is this man, this is that man.
There is a Tosos that this is the Sora for Rav. Is this a strange group of Gemara to get there? Like, normally the Gemara would say,
say my time is Shmuel, my time is Rav, and if there's a master, you bring a master. This seems to say that Rav is some reason we don't go into, and there's a different question.
I mean, you could say that. I haven't found anyone who actually holds that, Lamaisa. I hear the time now, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's so strange. I don't know. Okay. Tani kvasi rav, tani kvasi di shmol. Tani kvasi di rav, hashaleach get le ishto v'nishta hashliach v'derach gimel chadashim, ishe yigir get le yadah tzricha lahamte gimel chadashim. Right? This is like Rav from Shas Lasina. If the guy sends in the mail, takes 3 months in the mail, when she gets it, she has to wait another 3 months, even though it was written a long time ago. That's like Rav, mishat netina. Ulu get yashan in choshin. But of course, there's no actual problem to get that it's a get yashan, meaning an old get, meaning that they slept together after the ksiva, because the guy's Medina Sayyam, sharelodit yachidima, right? He was never alone with her, because he's in Medina Sayyam, so there's no problem. Tani kvazdi shmol, but there's another price like shmol, so it's a stalemate. Hamashlish get li ishto, you give the get to a third party to hold on to for your wife. You say, don't give it her till 3 months from now, and then 3 months from now he gives it to her. Same as the first price, except that you didn't send it from Medina Sayyam, you gave it to someone in your town. Muterisly nasamiyad. She can get married right away. Why? Because we can't project ksiva like Shmuel. We don't worry about a get yashan because they were never alone together after the ksiva, so it's not a problem. Agav, we recall here, machlok Rashi and Tosos, what's the case of mashlish get le'ishto? Tosos says, and he's in town. He's just not masyachim with his wife. The Rashi says, and he left town. Why did Rashi have to say he left town? So there are three possible explanations why Rashi had to add he left town. Only one of which we mentioned previously. The most boring explanation is, maybe Rashi just thought that it's only common for people to be mashlish when they leave town. Not for any halachic reason. Second possibility, which Dr. Ron said, for a halachic reason. Because maybe Rashi held that the only reason this prevents a problem is basachoso is because of kol. Right? And we only rely on kol b'makom igon, and if he was in town, we wouldn't rely on the kol. That's the second explanation, if you're willing to count the first one. Either Rashi wrote it stam, he thought that was a good scenario. Or two, because we only rely on kol b'makom igon, that's the sheet of the ran. Or three, the Tosos Rid here has a different shot, has a big chumrah. He says, because if the Baal was in town, it would be a get yashan. Whenever the Baal's in town, we suspect he might have slept with his wife, even if we never saw them alone together. And therefore, it's only kosher if he leaves town, because otherwise we suspect them of sleeping together. That's a big chumrah. That whenever the Baal and the Isha are in the same city, we always suspect they slept together, even if we never saw anything. And that's how he reads. He reads, not lonus yachanimah, we didn't notice yichud. Lonus yachanimah, they were out of town and couldn't have done yichud. Okay, three explanations, not our inyan right now. Vizehu. Let's see how we paskin. Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, Avdim Shas Ksiva. Rav Papa, Rav Hunabri, Rav Shua, Avdim Shas Nesina. Vihel Chasami Shas Ksiva. Okay, so what's the halacha? Mishas ksiva. Okay, in Psak, there's not a Lundish machlokis. There's a very technical machlokis in Psak. The Rush writes that in Ashkenaz, they were nohe mishas nesina, like Rav, not like Shmuel, because they didn't have the gear, so they helped some mishas ksiva. Okay, so if you have the gear, so helps some mishas ksiva. Obviously, helps some mishas ksiva. If you don't have that gear, so then you have Amaram on this side, Amaram on that side, and Lachora helps a Rav and Isurin. And therefore, you would pass them like Rav, and that's the machlokes between the Riff and the Rush. Okay, now, let us go to analyze this a little deeper. Yes. Okay, the Riff here brings an interesting machlokes between himself and a Yesh Omrim, regarding the previous, the relationship between these two Gemaras. Says the Riff, for the relationship between the Gemara I just read you and the previous Gemara. Remember we had a machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish in the previous Gemara? What was the machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish? Whether the gzeira of Zman is badachoto or peirot. What is it based on? It's based on from what sha'ah, as the Gemara said in Daf Yizayin Beis, is mishak ktiva? Until say ktiva chatima la dafka, the same basic idea, until we tease it out later. Or mishat nitina. So, ikeman dar hilsak Rabbi Yochanan. Why would the Ikeman never say halachas like Rabbi Yochanan? Not supposed to be a hard question. Why would the first man never say halachas like Rabbi Yochanan? The halachas always like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. It's a rule. The Ikeman never halachas like Reish Lakish. But there's another man never says halachas like Reish Lakish. The Amri Shas Ksiva. Okay, that's a big chiddush. Now, just to be fair, there are two different shitas in Rishonim. I didn't bring them all in the sheet. Who pass like Reish Lakish in the Sugya of Zman. One is the Sefer Ha'itar, quoting the Rush, Because since the Gemara in Yitzayim Beis says Epoch, switch them, he understood that we switch Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan says Peiros Rish Lakish as Basachoso. So the Iter, well, let me just write a little psak in here. Sorry. Psak is that Rov Rishonen Paskin Basachoso Kirab Yochanan. The Sefer HaIter, quote in the Rush, Paskin's Peiros Kirab Yochanan. Because he holds that Epoch means, remember, first Rabbi Yochanan said Nesina and Rish Lakish said Ksiva, and then Rabbi Yochanan said Ksiva and Rish Lakish said Nesina. We said switch them. He says switch the first one. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish really said the opposite. Okay, see, he's the same as the Ikam and Amar, but for a different reason. The Ikam and Amar, L'chaora, the Ikam and Amar in the Rif says Peiros to Rish Lakish. So why is this fellow paskening Peiros Kirish Lakish? Not because he holds that's a Yochanan. That's Sefer Iter, and it's a very technical, you could go through the rest, very technical focus. How do you know there's an epoch? Are they switching the first statement, the second statement, and rise for all of Rishas? Very technical. This man never saying something not technical. No, Misvara, I'm paskening like Rish Lakish. Why is he Misvara paskening like Rish Lakish? Because since we paskin like Shmuel v'Hilchos Mishas K'siva, remember, now we're in the Rif who paskins v'Hilchos Mishas K'siva. Since the Gimel Chadashim starts Mishas K'siva, the Peiros also has to be lost Mishas K'siva. Okay, that's what the Ikamah number says. Why? Because Peiros have to be lost at the same time as the count of Gimel Chadashim begins. So basically what he's saying, a big chidushing on our, the Machlokes of Rechon Shlokesh is the same as the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Are we Machshev Shat Ktiva? Or are we Machshev Shat Netina? And therefore, since it's a Hiltzak Vatei to Shmuel, right, in Lachor, that's Gears in the Gemara, we pass like Shmuel Mishas Ksiva. So just like we pass in Shmuel against the rule that Rav Shmuel Lach Karav, so we'll also pass like Shmuel and Rish Lakish against the rule of Rav Rish Lakish Lach Rav Yochanan. Okay, says the Rif to this Ikam and Amar, what are you smoking? Right? He says, well, Lav Milsehi. The Hasam, then you may Masai Monim the Get, be Yichatal Yamilsa. It came to the name of Yachim Moshas Ksiva, Monim Shas Ksiva. Aval Hachling and Peri, be Berkuna Tal Yamilsa. Kida Amrina, der Kut Tiknu Berkuna Tachas Peros, Kaimel and Lopaka Berkuna, Mine Adama Tigitu Liade, Hilka, Kokam and Lukai Berkuna, Isla Peri, Shams Mina, Delsu Yofan, and Yishla Peros Shas Messina. He says one of the two things have to do with each other. One is when the Baal loses right to Peros, have to do with when he starts counting the 3 months. They're two totally different issues. Starting to count the 3 months depends on yichud being meaning bia. Starting 3 months depends on relations and paternity. So since there was no conjugal relations, there's no question of paternity. You start counting 3 months from the ksiva seget. Machlokes v'yochanan shlokesh depends on when the Baal loses his peros. Why should the Baal losing his peros be the same time as counting paternity? What do they have to do with each other? One is a technical way of determining paternity, and the other is rights of husbands and wives. And as a matter of fact, then he says a second thing. He says, we know what Peiros depends on. Peiros depends on Perkuna, on Pidyon. The Gemara says that there are three mominous rights the husband receives and three mominous obligations the husband takes on himself. One of them, which we're not going to deal with now because it's really different issues, what Aaron mentioned before, he gets his wife's salary and in exchange he has to support his wife. The other one is he gets the interest from his wife's property, Peiros. And in exchange, Pidyon, he has to redeem her if she is captured, right? In the old days. Truth is, even now in some places, this is a common thing, right? If you go to Somalia, you're likely to be captured and held for ransom. You have to go to Somalia. You go to, Mexico. You're likely to be captured and held for ransom. Meaning you, not the average Mexican peasant. it's not worthwhile. But if a rich Westerner goes to Mexico, odds are you'll be captured and held for ransom. In the old days, wherever you were, you could be captured and held for ransom. Therefore, he has to do Purkan Pidyon of his wife is Keneged the Peiros, says the Rif. When does he have to redeem his wife? What do you mean? Just because he's not an Ainu Lagarsha, now he doesn't have to redeem her? Now she should languish in captivity? No, he has to redeem his wife as long as they're married. Since he has to redeem his wife as long as they're married, he gets payrus as long as they're married. So says the Rif, makes no sense whatsoever. Okay. Says the Rif, this makes no sense whatsoever. Therefore, the two are not connected. Okay, now, interesting question. How, there are two things this Ikeman Damer has to answer. Number one, what taka is the connection between Peiros? I'm sort of split. The Rif says it was one question. I'm splitting two questions. What is the connection between Peiros and Gimel Chadashim? One has to do with rights in Mamonos, and the other has to do with determining paternity. It doesn't seem like they should be totally ha-ha-ha.
Maybe
just
technical.
What?
Maybe they're looking for technical, so talk about the two of them. And no kasher, even this
no, time. But the Hilchos only says Shmuel. It doesn't say anything about Reuach and Reish Lakish, so then it won't help you.
It doesn't say anything about anybody.
Ooh, Hilchos. Interesting.
I don't agree with it, but I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, but that's not what the Yom HaNor says. It says, Kid de Kaimelin Yishlo Kodashin. They say, just like. They don't say it's talking. Okay. So, one question is, Man Yishmita Yishlar Sinai. Second question is, how do they answer the Rift's question about Pidyon? Taka, it seems like a good question. After all, if Peiros is going to get Pidyon, then, and he has to redeem her until they're divorced, then why doesn't he get Peiros until they're divorced? So here, the Ran here says, the Ramban really said it before him. Right, okay, you'll tell me everyone who says everything if I don't quote who says it. The Ran says, no, Taka, maybe I can defend the Ikeman D'Amar. Maybe he also doesn't have to redeem her, Mishas Ksiva. Maybe he also does. Who says he has to redeem her until the divorce? Maybe he doesn't have to redeem her, Mishas Ksiva. Okay, the Karban Asanel goes ballistic on him, says, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. What? Every time the woman's taken captive, he'll just write a get and then not have to redeem her. That's ridiculous against everything. We see you can't take advantage. It's not such a good taina. If she's already taken captive, then it's too late to write again because he's already chayev. But if he writes again before she's taken captive, then you're right, he can't take advantage. Once she's taken captive, the chiyav is chal. Of course he can't get out of it. We mean if he writes the get before she's taken captive. How did he know she'd be taken captive? It was coincidence. Coincidentally, he writes again, and coincidentally she's taken captive. Then it so happens he gets lucky and saves the money on Pidyon. You know, and that's life. And what if he had divorced her and then she was taken captive? It doesn't matter. Meaning, you know, life's not fair. What's not fair is that she was taken captive. Not that the husband doesn't redeem her. You know, what if she was single? It's very sad when people are captured by marauding armies. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the husband's responsibility. So, that's one way of answering the... Let's just ask these two sort of questions, right? Two problems. Questions on the Ika Manda Omer. It's really, they're both Ika Manda Omer. The second Ika Manda Omer, right? What is the connection between Gimel Chadashim and Peiros? Right? Or in Hebrew, Ma'in and Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. Right? B, what about Pidyon? So, how do you answer B? I think there are two ways to answer B. There could be two ways to answer B. One way is, based on what Svi said before, you could say, look, it's just not fair that because he decided to divorce her, he should still gain. Therefore, they put sort of like a knas on him. You know, I don't mean a knas like he did something wrong. Man's allowed to divorce his wife, at least, you know, and whatever sheet it is, right? Tikhtichot avshilo, matzah chuznyayimen, or whatever the case may be. Let's assume he's allowed to divorce his wife. But it's not fair for him to benefit when he's not committed to the relationship. Therefore, they made a knas and took away his benefit. Maybe they left her benefit and took away his benefit. After all, she is not the one who did anything. He's the one who did something. She didn't do anything wrong. I don't mean wrong like illegal. I mean wrong like wrong to the relationship. She didn't do anything against the relationship. He did something against the relationship. So they left her rights and took away his rights. Oh, the Rif said Zek Neged Zeh? Yeah, Zek Neged Zeh until we make a knas on someone. And you can make a knas on one guy without the other guy. Doesn't seem so crazy to me. I have Zek Neged Zeh and they make a knas and take away yours and leave mine. And he might take advantage. He really wants to divorce her, but he'll, like the Rishami says about Takanas Man, just take it one step earlier, you know, he really wants to divorce her, but there's a big rent payment coming in, so he's really being nochel. How do you say that in English? Slimy. Okay, fine. More or less. Okay, fair. So, one answer you could say is that, no, eBay payros, v'chayav b'pidyona, and this is, it's all mita'am knas. I don't necessarily knas like kefum dal v'hei, but you know what I mean. Or you could say what the Ramban and the Ran say. I'm not saying the Ramban and the Ran paskin this way. They're just defending this ikaman to Omar. Right? I don't think they're paskin like the ikaman. They're defending. They're saying, no. Ibe peiros upater mipidyona. That's what the Ramban and the Ran say, Taka. No, he lost his payros and he's also potter from redeeming her. If he writes a get and 5 minutes later she's captured by bandits, then he got really lucky and he just saved himself $1 million ransom. But why? Why should he save himself money by being a bad person? Or not by being a bad person, by being a bad husband, right? He's a bad husband. He wants to divorce her. She didn't do anything wrong. She's a devoted, loyal wife, and he is a bad husband. So therefore, she loses something and he gains? Why should that be? So, then you have to ask. And it's the Ramban and the Ran. I'm not making it up. I made up the other one. So I thought that was common sense. The Ramban and the Ran are less common sense, but they say it. Why? So here you could take in one of two directions. The Or Sameach says, you know why? Because there's a whole machlokas, because he makes a whole cheshbon out of it. Bavli, Rishalmi, all the Amoran. He makes very, very brilliant, like Yeshiva Shechashbonos out of this. But I'm just going to get the Yesod Hadavar. I'm just going to take the Yesod from it. He said there's actually a big machlokas all over Shas. He thinks it's a machlokas Bavli, Rishalmi, machlokas Rishonim. When we say they're attacking three things, can they get three things? What's the Iker and what's the Tafel? Is the Iker that they wanted the woman to get three things from her husband? So, therefore, to even it out, they gave the husband three things from his wife? Or the Iker, they wanted the husband to get three things from his wife, and to even it out, they gave the wife three things from her husband. Right? Which is the Iker, which is the Tafel? Like, meaning, did Chazal really sit down and say, we think the husband should get Peiros, but to be fair, we'll give the woman Pidyon? Or did they say, no, we really think damsel in distress, the woman should be ransomed. But to be fair, we'll give the husband payrolls. So now, most of us would have thought in common sense, no, they really worried about the woman. Mizonos amaisi adeha. What was their main concern? Their main concern was who should get the woman's salary or whether the woman should have food to eat. Their main concern is the woman should have food to eat. They were talking, the husband has to give her food to eat. You know, forget about the fact that they're raisa, they deal with that, right? And then, because the husband's giving her food to eat, it's only fair he gets her salary. Pidyon and payrolls. Look where the Pashav shot is. They wanted this woman to be redeemed. The Goyim captured her, and someone has to be responsible for her, right? Meaning the woman has no money of her own, right? So who's going to redeem her? So they say it's ridiculous. What? Men get redeemed because you'll just go to their bank account and take their money and redeem them. Women don't get redeemed because they don't have their own money. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. And therefore, they made a takana. The husband has to redeem his wife. But the husband's going to lose a lot of money. To counterbalance that, they made a takana of payrolls. That's what I would have thought. I would have thought pidyon iker, and payrolls is tafel.
Didn't the Rambam go in that direction? Because when he talks about the three things he's claiming to write, and then they added in Rambam another.
Yeah, it could be. I have to look at the Digal Lashon. Anyway, but says the Or Sameach something which is not the most pashup shot. But he has a whole cheshbon. He has makoros. Says the Or Sameach, but it's dochuk in common sense. What does he say? He says, no. Iker hatakana hu peirus. And the pidyon is tafel. Therefore, how does it make sense if he's a bad person that his wife loses a right? Because that right's only tafel to his right. He just lost his right to peiros, and since pidyon is tafel to peiros, therefore technically disappears, and that's not a crazy thing, right? If the lettuce is spoiled, I made the salad dressing. Now the lettuce is spoiled, I also throw out the salad dressing. Oh, what did the salad dressing do wrong? Nothing, but once there's no salad, what am I going to do with salad dressing, right? Oh, what did this poor lady, she didn't do anything wrong, why did she lose her pidyon? No, she didn't do anything wrong, it's the pidyon was tough to the payrolls, and he did something wrong and lost the payrolls. Therefore, okay, sure, you could say this, but you understand that's a chiddush, not the common sense. The common sense, the pidyon is ikra, and the peros are tafel. Common sense, not the chazal said, it's our main goal that husbands make a lot of interest. And as a side point, we'll have captives be redeemed. L'chor, the common sense is adarabah, right? So, what else could you say? The other option is, obviously, you're going to have to make a yesod here. What is the yesod here? And here, the rav makes a big yesod out of the sugya. Says the rav, no. This, now, just to be fair, the rav actually did not say anything about this ikeman da'amar. The rav didn't, for some reason, I mean, I don't know what the rav ever said. I only know what's written in this book, right? I never interrogated him, everything he thought about getting daf yuches. But in the shiurim, it doesn't quote that he tied it into the ikeman da'amar, but it's obvious that he ties this into the ikeman da'amar. Says the Rav's Mahalach, the Rav's whole Mahalach, and I point out Rav Shechter is a very nice simon, where in Rav Shechter's Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, it's mostly his own chidushim, which obviously, you know, the Rav's presence is looms. But a few, like four of the simonim there, which start with the word kuntras be'inyan, are actually just his notes on what the Rav said. Okay, everyone's notes is an interpretation, but nonetheless, meaning, so he has the Simon Chaf Dalet, Kuntres Be'inyan L'shma Beget, it's called, is not the Rav Shechter's Chidushim, it's Rav Shechter's notes of what the Rav said. Okay, it's only his notes of what the Rav said, so the Rishim is also someone's notes. Everything's only someone's notes of what the Rav said. Besander. Anyway, so, what? The Shurim is also Rav Shechter's notes, so it's interesting. I don't know. You know, in the footnotes of the Shurim, they keep footnoting the Simon in the Rav Shechter's Sefer. I don't know why they didn't just build it in. Okay. In any case, says the Rav says here Yesod. He says a new Yesod in Rabbi Shimon. What's the new Yesod in Rabbi Shimon? You thought until now. But what's the Svara? Right? So A is like a knas. It's just not fair that he should take advantage and profit or even profiteer. While he's planning to divorce his wife, right? Just like the Gemara says at the end, he shouldn't take advantage of his wife if he's not committed to her. Okay, or you could say no. This is the pashup shot. Or says the Rav, no. Says the Rav, no. Rav Shimon Shita is that when you write a get nosanin of Lagarsha, and again, for now, I'm not yet ready to distinguish between what Nesinas Ayin means, what Ksiva is, what Chasima is. Let's assume you didn't divorce her yet. You just prepared to divorce her. That already creates a partial hafka'a of the Ishut. The marital relationship is partially abrogated. Obviously not fully abrogated. She sleeps with another man, she's Chayav Nisa. Right? But the at the very least, the Nisuin, right, the Erisin, Asur Kulam HaKehektesh, is not abrogated at all. But at the very least, the Nisuin, which is the Ma'arechet, the framework of mutual obligations one to the other in daily life, is partially abrogated, or even more than partially, right? The Rav in the Shurim says, perhaps from Yarbanan, it's abrogated by the Ksivas Aget. The Ksivas Aget, for reasons which we will explain, of course, I can't just say it's Tam, but for now I will. The Ksivas Aget actually is Mafkia, it's partially Mafkia the Ishus, it abrogates part of the marriage. They are now partially divorced. Midrabanan, let's assume. Yeah, the Rav says Midrabanan. Well, he says based on a Daraisa, which we'll explain in a moment. Says the Rav, they are partially divorced because he already wrote a get. Once he nasan in of the Garsha, that's just a knas on him for being a bad person and not letting him take advantage. There's actually an objective lowering of the level of their relationship. So says, he says, nope, it is hafka'at Ha'ishos b'miktas. It is actually a partial abrogation of the marital relationship. And therefore, does he benefit? Does she benefit? It doesn't matter who benefits. It's not a matter of penalizing one guy, penalizing the other guy. It's that they no longer have a full marital relationship. Once they don't have a marital relationship, the takan of Chazal, of Peros and Pidyon no longer applies to them. Right? So says the Rav, because of hafka'as ha-ishos. It is not merely a localized knas, it is a generalized hafka of the ishos. How can we prove the Rav's theory of hafka sa-ishos? So first of all, now we can go back and answer, says the Rav. This is what the Rav really starts talking about. Even though he doesn't quote the Ikaman D'Omer of the Rif for some reason. He just says it on his own. He says, now we can go back and answer the first question on the Ikaman D'Omer as well. What's the connection between counting the 3 months of paternity and losing peiros? One has to do with rights of two parties in a business deal called marriage, and the other has to do with determining paternity. So says the Rav, no, what's the essential machlokas Rav and Shmuel? What do we say with machlokas Rav and Shmuel? On the one hand, practically Shmuel's right. Waiting 3 months from Ksiva is enough to determine paternity. On the other hand, as sort of a low plug, Rav might make sense. Not everyone's going to read the get, and therefore we can only go by like chaluyos that are well known, and we have to count from the scene of when they're divorced. Okay, if you stop here, you would say, and most Mefarshim would stop here, Taka, they had one of these machlokas about where to draw the line. Yeah, why does one person say, let's look at this case practically, and the other person says, no, let's make a low plug? At some point, people just have a judgment call, you know, when to say low plug, when not to. And, you know, that's perfectly reasonable. But the Rav's never satisfied with that. That's reasonable for everyone but the Rav. Says the Rav, no, there's a much deeper machlokas here. Says the Rav, let's imagine an example. Let us say the husband was in jail, right? No conjugal visits in those days. The husband was in jail for 3 months, then gives his wife a get. Would anyone say she should start counting for when he went to jail? No, there's no tashmish, no paternity. No, obviously low plug. We don't care if he's in jail or not. What if he's away in Medina's Hayam? Right? And he mailed to get overnight from Medina's Hayam, but he's been in Medina's Hayam for 3 months. No one's going to say you count when he left on a ship. Because low plug, meaning everyone knows if there's some reason they didn't sleep together, we say low plug. Even if that reason is notorious. Not notorious, as lawyers use the word, that means very well known, right?
That's what lawyers mean by notorious.
Right, even if everyone knows the reason, it'll be confused. No, have a low plug. So what's the machlokis, according to Rav? Rav says, low plug, I know there's a reason they didn't sleep together. But lemaisa, low plug, they weren't divorced. Says Shmuel, no, low plug if there's a stam reason they didn't sleep together. But here, there's not a stam reason they didn't sleep together. You know why they didn't sleep together? They didn't sleep together because they were partially divorced. Once they're already partially divorced, then, what do you mean? They're partially divorced, fully divorced. We don't have to make a low plug. If the reason they didn't sleep together is because they were partially divorced, because they had less ishus between them, then it makes sense that we can start counting. We don't have to count for when they're fully divorced. We can count for when they're partially divorced. That's not against the idea of low plug. Says the Rav, that's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Not just whether to make a low plug or not. They both agree we'd make a low plug if there was a stam reason they didn't sleep together. Well, you won't make a low plug if they were divorced. The question is, are they partially divorced? Or are they not partially divorced? That's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Since we pass like Shmuel, we pass and they were partially divorced, Mishas Ksiva. Hafkas Ishas. Once they were partially divorced, Mishas Ksiva, we have to pass like Rish Lakish. That the Baal lost his right to payrolls. And that, I think, is the only logical answer. Meaning it's mukhrach. Now, you could say, is this vart true? Not according to the Ikaman D'Amar. Then you could say, maybe yes, maybe no. Then all burden of proof is on me. But this vart has to be true in the Ikaman D'Amar. And once it has to be true in the Ikaman D'Amar already, you have to be open-minded to see whether it might be true according to others as well. So what's the only answer? The only answer is the Rav. What's the Rav? Shita Shmuel. Eino. Shita. You know, nikudatit. She'ein omrim lo plug. Kasher zman gita. Mochiach aleha. It can't be a local sugi that he just doesn't think you say a low plug and he trusts people to look at the get and understand. Because then what would we have to do with payroll? Ella. Shita ekronit. Sheksivas haget mafkia low plug. That's the Rav says you know that's clearly what the Ikaman D'Amar have to hold. The Rav thought this even not according to the Ikaman D'Amar. Seder. The Rav thought this even not according to the Ikaman D'Amar. But for sure for the Ikaman D'Amar, again. If you look at the Rav, he doesn't talk about the Ikaman D'Amar in the Rif. He says it's unclear. But for sure, that's the only good way to explain the Ramban and the Ran. Okay, The Or Sameach has a dachuk way. Okay, the best way to explain the Ramban and the Ran, my Nias Daiti, against the Or Sameach, and the only way to explain my Nishmita Tosina according to the Ikamanda Amr. So you have this Yesod of Avkasa Isha B'miktas. The Hakir is going to be, what if we don't like the Ikamanda Amr? Maybe we still hold that Yesod of Havkas Isha B'miktas. Right? Just we don't hold the Ikamanda Amr doesn't mean what we're going to say about Pidyon, what we're not going to say about Pidyon. And just because we think Havchana is not connected, maybe that's because Havchana is a technical thing and not connected to Havkasa Ishos. But maybe Rosh Shimon is still Misham Havkasa Ishos. So where might we see a Nafkamina? Of that, the Nafkamina would be obviously the whether Rav Shimon is going to be a local Shita only about Peiros, or we're going to expand Rav Shimon to all aspects of Ishos. And here we get the famous Shita of the Rashbam in Bava Basra. There is a funny story in Bava Basra. It actually is a funny story. The Lechor, according to most Mefarshim, the wife made a joke. There's a funny story in Bava Basra. It's a big machlokes Rishonim what happened in the story. What happened in the story? There's a certain guy, and they told him his wife was a, what's it called?
Totranit.
I don't know if they use that word in modern Hebrew anymore. She couldn't smell. I mean, between you and me, I don't know if I would make such a big deal out of it.
Usually the other way around.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, the other rabbi, I think most husbands nowadays are very happy their wife couldn't smell. Then they never have to shower. But this guy was very upset that his wife had a mum, and they fooled him and gave him a wife who's a balas mum, and he was very upset about this, but he didn't know if it was true. So to test her, he took her into a certain churba, and he said, I smell the smell of tznon from the Galil. And she said, oh, who's going to give me the kotavot, the dates of Yericho to eat with it? Okay, it's not clear what this meant. One pshat might be that he hid in his pocket dates. And he said to her, I smell the radishes. And if she would agree, says, oh, I also smell the radishes. He'd know she couldn't smell and she was a liar. And she knew what he was up to. And she decided to say something witty because it was common to eat dates with radishes. She says, radishes. Yeah, I wish I had some dates to eat them with. Saying, I know you're holding dates and trying to fool me, etc. Okay, different shot them. That's the most clever shot in their conversation. That's not important. What's important is Nafala Churba Mesa. At that moment, the Churba collapsed on her and she died. Okay, sad ending to the story, right? Meaning, now it sort of ruined the joke. So, what happened? This guy still wanted to have the last laugh. Even though the joke was ruined, he wanted the last laugh. He said, okay, but I have Yerusha. I inherit her money. Now I don't have to marry her and I get her money. Wonderful. So Chazal said, nope. Since he only brought into this churba to check her out for this plot, therefore he doesn't inherit her. Now, there's a fundamental machlokes Rishonim, what happened in the story. Some Rishonim say she was an arusa. After all, they weren't married yet. I mean, they were erusin, they weren't living together yet. He was checking her out before he went through with the nisuin. And what are they saying here? Something nothing to do with our sugya. Many Rishonim say nothing to do with our sugya. What they're saying is that one of the ways of nisuin is to bring her into your property for the sake of marriage, to bring her to your house for the sake of marriage. He owned this churba, and therefore, if he had brought her in order to hang out with her, to whatever it may have been, you know, then that would be nisuin. And in nisuin, he inherits her property. But since he didn't bring her in for the sake of being close to her and marrying her, he only brought her in for the sake of testing her, therefore there's no nisuin, it was mere erusin. And in Erusin, there's no Yerusha. Okay, then it has nothing to do with us whatsoever. The Rashbam says a much bigger Kiddush. And Halacha L'maisa, if you looked in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a little, realia. Or not realia, but, you know, historical fight. This is a big fight in the days of Rishonim Ashkenaz, whether they're Paskin like the Rashbam or not. It's a steer between these two Shulchan Aruchs, which is not a problem, because Shulchan Aruch in Rutenberg is like the Shulchan Rashba, an important historical idea. Shemar and Rudenberg is like the Shut Rashba. It was so popular. What happens when a book by someone gets so popular? Everyone ends up writing something in it, right? If a book is not so popular, you can be rest assured that it's in its pristine form it was originally authored, generally. If a book is really popular, everyone starts scribbling, right? Meaning, these are the days, right? The days of wikis. right? Meaning we've returned to the time of the Rishonim, right? Nowadays in the internet, everyone adds something to every page, no matter who authored it. In between, there was something called a printing press, which means everyone couldn't add anything, so there was printing, and then you only had your handwriting, was clearly not part of it. Before the printing press, there was handwriting, which means everyone could write in a little, right? So, in this case, in Shutma Ram, they basically took all Rishonim Ashkenaz who had interesting tshuvas and threw them into the Shutma Ram. That was the minhag. And in Shut Rashba, they took all the Rishonim Sfarad who had interesting tshuvas and threw them into the Shut Rashba. So a general Kal Gadol in Shutma Ram and Shut Rashba, you can never be sure who authored it unless it says. In this case, we can be sure who authored it, because one of them says the Maamar of Rutenberg authored it, and one of them says three other Dayanim signed it. Okay, so it's a machlokes whether to pass like this Rashbam. But what did the Rashbam say, Sach HaKol? The Rashbam said she wasn't an Arusa, she was a Nesua. She was a Nesua. And now he was checking her out. And therefore, since he brought her to this korban to check her out, he doesn't inherit her. Why not? It's after Nisuin. Says the Rashbam, you know why he doesn't inherit her? Because Natan Ein of Lagarsha. Because he decided to divorce her. He had decided to divorce her. Now, just to be fair, he had only decided to divorce her if she couldn't smell. But apparently that's bad enough. Meaning, I would not give him Husband of the Year award. Even though he only decided to divorce her if she couldn't smell. You know, he's putting tricks on her to see if she can smell so he could divorce her. Says the Rashbam, once he decided to divorce her, therefore he loses his rights of Yerusha.
Even if he changed his mind? He changed his mind because he now smells.
Fascinatingly enough, it's a great question. And a lot of people ask that question. What about the fact that in the end she smelled? So if she could smell, then that is a great question. Apparently, you know, that's a great question. Meaning, there's no one that's always that question. Obviously, if he changed, no, you can't say if someone decides to divorce their wife and then they kissed and made up and he changed his mind that he loses all his chuyos for the next 40 years, right? Meaning, guys, a lot of change. You're allowed to go for shalom bayis counseling. Maybe somehow, like it fell in her as she said it, perhaps, and he hadn't really realized he changed his mind yet. Or perhaps the answer is that we understand the okay, but he hadn't yet changed his mind. He was checking her out, but he had decided to divorce her. Maybe he was still thinking of divorcing her. Okay, I have to think about that. But what did Hirschbaum say? What?
Nothing changed. So in his mind, he was divorcing her already until proven that she
could smell. The problem is she did prove that she could smell. So technically, how does the story work? But I'll, what is about? They came to you with to Lagarsha in its enabalat mum. Ubetokach meta kodem shenit paisu. Okay, this is what he's dealing with. He decided to divorce her if she couldn't smell, and they weren't mit pious yet. Again, what does it mean they weren't pious? She only didn't realize the plan in advance. I guess what it means he had decided to divorce her, and he hadn't yet changed his frame of mind based on this new information. Okay, so somehow he's still in the frame of mind of divorcing. Therefore, he loses Yerusha. From here receiving this Maisa B'chol Yom. Right? Meaning Maisa B'chol Yom, the time they're shown him in nowadays, is that couples don't all get divorced within 3 seconds. The husband decides to divorce his wife. They're in a fight. He decides to divorce his wife. It takes a while, and meanwhile, she might die. Then he doesn't divorce her. And what is the mucker of all this? Like it says in Gittin, in Gittin it only says about Peros. The Rashbam extends it to Yerusha. Not everyone likes this. There are many kashas in this Rashbam. One of the many kashas on this Rashbam is he only said it about Peros. Who said about Yerusha? The Rush and the Shutma Ram, quoting all these Dayanim, say, hey, they said about Peros, which is Darabanan. Yerusha Sabal, we Paskin is Daraisa. Since when are you going to say the Daraisa doesn't apply? It's one thing to take away his Darabanan rights, right? Seems to be a big Chiddush, this Rashbam. Why is he extending from Pero to Yerusha? I know he's trying to find the pshat in this story, but it's a big chiddush. He said Peirot. Who says you lose your Yerusha? Especially since the Rosh and the Shutna Ram say Yerusha is Doraita. So, I think we'll have to stop here, but let's just point out there are two ways of trying to answer up this Rashbam. One answer is stick with the Knas idea. Just like they made a Knas, he loses his payrolls, they made a Knas, he loses Yerusha. He's talk a bad guy, he deserves to lose his rights. Right? He doesn't deserve to take advantage, you get the right of Yerusha. Oh, Yerusha is Doraita. So either they made a Knas even against the Doraita, or maybe the Rashbam holds Yerusha as Darabonim. You know, it's hard to prove because it's a machlokas in Shas. So, just because someone writes a pirush in Shas doesn't mean we can prove how they paskin. Okay, the other option is what the Rashash says, right there in Bava Basra. What did the Rashash say? The Rashash says no. He says, why does a husband inherit his wife? Anyone know what word in the Torah teaches us that a husband inherits his wife? It's not in Peshuta Shel Mikra. She'ero. She'er means closeness. She'er literally means flesh and blood, right? It's closeness. He says, once he decided to divorce her, Mida Oraisa, here's going a little further than the Rav, it seems like. Once he decided to divorce her, they're not She'er anymore. They might still have some Hariat Mekudeshesli Kedat Moshe Yisrael, but, right? But you can't say that they are she'er. You can't say they're v'hayu l'basar echad anymore. You can't say the ishto kegufa anymore. You can't say they still have a relationship once he wrote this get. And what he's basically saying is that what's pshat in the Rashbam? What's pshat in the Rashbam is hafka'at ha'ishot. Is that no? The writing of the get takes away the she'er relationship between them. It sounds like Doraita, if you want to, maybe you can say Drabanan. And therefore, why does the Rashbam extend it? Next, he extends a Knas, because he extends the Hafkad Ha'ishot. Because if it's Hafkad Ha'ishot, of course you should extend it. And then he gives one more Nafkanina, but we'll have to pick up with that next time. So maybe we'll finish up this Inyan next time, and just until I send out the Mekorot, what we'll try to do next time is finish up this Inyan and learn the Gemara and the rest of Daf Yudchet Amun Aleph, so we can start on the Gemara, the rest of Daf Yudchet Amun Aleph.
What?
Yeah, so do I. That's what I'm at.